Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana. I win.
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase. Here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody's having a good start to your day. Max Herz behind the glass. He's waving. Wow, he pulled a Josh Upton move there. Just wave. No words.
Hi, Max.
From Max. See, now he gets a little taste of our world. See, last night he got to dabble in our world, and so he realizes what a home day is like.
Yeah.
A home Preds day.
It's
as
a long
Max,
day.
You know, left the arena at about 10:30 last night, which is still earlier than us. And realizes, you know.
Darren McFarland is a trooper. That's all I'm going to say.
It's not just me.
Three hours of this show on a bum knee, first day back from surgery.
But on good meds.
On good meds. Then pregame, two period breaks, postgame.
What a performance. I want your guys' honest opinion, okay? I'm going to let everybody in behind the curtain. And tell me if this was bad or not. If I should have done this or not done this. I'm friends with my orthopedic surgeon. I've known him for many, many years, well over a decade. We're very close. I did reach out to him this morning and ask for just one refill. And I said, look, I'm not going to become a junkie or addicted. I want to push this, but I want to know that I've got a safe barrier, you know, for pushing this. Is that a bad idea? Or should I just stick to the original prescription and should I have not reached out and asked for more? Does it make me look bad that I'm asking for more drugs?
Already?
Yeah.
Does it make you look bad or just make you look weak?
Both, I guess.
Well, okay.
And I guess depends on how
I go back to Tim Hasselbeck on Wednesday. What's his pain threshold?
Yeah,
that's what he was saying.
But
well,
everybody knew the answer to that going into
it. Was.
So, yeah. I'd be the same way. I'd be like, can I get an IV? Like
Chase told me he called me a marshmallow.
He did. Said if you weren't there Thursday, you were softer than a marshmallow.
So was that bad? Should I have just stuck with the original?
So have you, it's not because you've already used your allotment.
Well, but it's getting dangerously close to being done.
Hmm.
So I rifled through them pretty good.
Yeah. No, it's not bad. It's just it does show your pain threshold.
Is pretty well, but that's what we already knew, right?
Yeah.
So
it's
you guys really aren't answers, so you're kind of telling me, yeah, that's kind of weak.
Listen. It's not something to mess around with too much, man. In all seriousness.
What do you mean? No, I understand.
People go down this road.
I know, but I'm not going. That's not going to happen.
I think everybody says that, right?
No,
we're
going to
watch you closely now.
Are you saying I'm going to get tested at some point?
No, I'm saying in a few months, if you're, you know, if you got a little extra, you know, shake in your bag, like you can hear pills like popping around.
And I'm shaking.
You're going to be like, yeah.
Hey, well, let's rush to the break so I can get in my bag.
We might have to do an on-air intervention.
Darren, listen.
We got to talk.
You have to go
Max,
now.
You
have to go now.
We have Max standing there reading the letter. Dear Darren,
I've worked with you for 3 months. You need help.
Yeah.
I suspected this while back.
Should not make light of that.
No,
but.
We shouldn't. Because in all seriousness, it's real. And that's not going to happen to me. But I just wanted to know what you guys thought.
Just be careful.
If
that's
that makes
all
me.
We're saying.
No, I'm not worried about that. I'm saying, does that make me weak? Is that
yes?
Is that pathetic?
Yes.
If Hal Gill is listening to this, you know he's gone. Jeez.
We've heard from Nick Cale.
I mean, Hal already said it last night. He's like, you're working, so get over it, man.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's the player mentality, right? If you're playing, nobody wants to hear about it. I got it.
Hal was in I've noticed when Hal knows he's going on a fun road trip, Hal is a little as frisky, as you like to
say.
Yes,
he gets a little frisky.
He was that way last night.
He's been that way for 4 days looking for this first road trip.
Yeah.
I told Chase
last night. I started getting messages about the road trip like Monday. Like, Hal, we still have like two home games to work.
Yeah, no, he's worried about the trip, the road trip. I said to Chase last night, I said, I think we goofed up. I think we should have taken the show on the road for this road trip. We should have joined you guys.
I agree.
This would have been a really good road trip.
Because I've never been to L.A., and then 2 days in Vegas, we know that's trouble.
Enough said.
I've never been to Phoenix or Glendale. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this would have been a good
one. We kind of goofed. We should have been on this with you guys.
We did. Willie, can you make that happen in like 3 hours? Can you get us on the plane?
Well, I don't know if that's going to happen now. You got to like pack and stuff.
Yeah, we'll figure that out when we get there.
We can go buy stuff, right?
Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
You can win money in Vegas and buy whatever you need.
Ooh, now we're thinking.
You could.
Because that works.
Hey, a sports book. You got to go for the first time.
It's there.
Are you going to the sports book?
No. It was a one-time deal. I forced him.
Oh.
It was kind of like A Few Good Men. You got bullied into that sports book.
Where did I go? I didn't even go, really.
I thought you watched the national championship game there, didn't you?
No.
I thought you and Mace did that.
No.
So you didn't even go?
No.
Oh, my gosh.
You know what we need to do? We need to come up with a future bet, and I'll pitch in on it and have Willie go put that in when he's in Vegas and do a show future
bet. We've got 3 hours to figure that out.
I think that would be funny.
Okay, we'll talk.
Let's do that. Let's do something where he can go place it for us on this trip.
Okay. Yeah, I think that would be good.
All right.
And we'll
got baseball playoffs. We got big stuff.
Hey, if that Blues fan can do it, what kind of odds we got on the Preds winning the Stanley Cup? Look it up.
We'll be in Vegas for the NFL Sunday. All kinds of fun could be had there.
Yeah.
Right?
Okay, we'll figure that out.
Odds to this is
Predators to win the Cup. And we'll be like the Blues fan.
Ooh.
We'll see if we start getting offers midway through the season.
What I'm showing
to buy
on Vegas,
out our ticket.
On Vegas Insider right now, I'm showing 16-1.
Oh, 16-1.
Yeah.
That's it's pretty good little odds. You can make some cash off that. We'll figure it out. Speaking of last night, how much fun was last night?
Wow.
As I joked with Roman Yossi, who was our post-game guest, just a ho-hum crowd Thursday night, work night, school night, just kind of quiet in the building Thursday night, weeknight game. And as Roman said, there are no weeknight games at Bridgestone Arena. And it was a great line. The place got a kick out of that. That was a fun, fun hockey game. Obviously, it's a lot more fun when you come back and win. But, wow, was that a great atmosphere on a Thursday night in October. Doesn't get any better than that.
Man, it's hard to find the words. Because if you didn't see it, I don't know that you could really get a good feel for it. For the fourth game of the year, that was amazing. Four different comebacks.
Mm-hmm.
Never led until they took the lead with, 5-6 minutes to go when Ekholm scored. Twice in the third period, they scored on consecutive shots against the Vezina Trophy winning goalie. And yet it took every bit of that to win the game, because the Capitals had their moments on the other side. The superstar players playing at a high level, Ovechkin doing his thing, Oshie scores.
It was awesome. I knew of it when we were talking yesterday, and it's like he only has one goal.
I knew we were doomed.
And I thought of you guys right away when Ovechkin scored. I was like, I told you guys.
He's slumping.
I told you.
What's wrong with him? He's in a slump.
Yeah. He's never scored on Pekka. Everybody was saying he's never scored on Pekka.
That is a pretty amazing stat, though.
And then the other part of it was Capitals 0 for the last 11 on the power play. Like, okay, situation is ripe. Watch out.
They were 2 for 16 on the year on the power play. Now they're 4 for 20.
Just think about how
they have had more man advantage opportunities than anybody else in the league, and it's really not even close.
It's what they do.
Think about how many special team goals were scored last night.
What, four?
Yeah.
Three power plays and a shorty.
Yep. The Preds score, on the power play. I laughed, though, when we played Peter Laviolette during the post-game show, And Adam Vingan says, does your heart rate increase in a game like that? And Peter Laviolette says, oh, it was awesome. Like, I don't believe you. I don't think you were really thinking that. And I think Yossi said on the postgame show of, well, you know, it was fun, but I'm sure the coaches didn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, well, there's some defensive breakdowns? Sure. Have there been? Were there a lot of turnovers in the game? Yeah.
Yeah. For both teams,
right,
really.
Right, right.
And that's really what hockey is in a lot of ways, is it's a series of mistakes that you're trying to force from the other team. You're trying to avoid unforced errors. And I think that's what the Predators will take out of it, is if you could just cut down on a couple of self-inflicted wounds, you know, just guys falling down. Fabro lost his balance on the one and just
the first goal.
It started the whole scramble. Bonino thought Ryan Ellis was right there, and it was a Capitals guy. He ended up starting the two-on-one back the other way. Just stuff like that. If you could just cut down on those.
That was the shorty, right?
That was the shorthanded goal, yeah.
Dante Fabro had a rookie game last night.
Yeah.
But you knew that was going to happen eventually.
It's his 14th game in the league.
But you know what I thought was good was the first period in particular. He was having some trouble, the kind of errors that everybody could see. But he hung in there. He was still in there at the end of the game, you know, playing the big minutes and, you know, overcame it. I thought just to get through the game and not have it snowball and turn into other stuff was good.
I asked Roman last night, I know it's just four games, but how long do you think it'll take before Matt Duchene gets comfortable and learns the system and gets comfortable in the room?
Wow. I loved his answer, too. Like, yeah, he's got to get after it.
I mean, how ridiculous has he been? 8 points in four games, 7 assists, which, oh, by the way, leads the NHL, and his first goal. That line... ridiculous.
Well, I'll go one step further.
Forsberg already with 4 goals. First time that's ever been done. 4 goals to start the season by a Predator. The record was 3, Steve Sullivan.
But Forsberg, Duchene, Granlund, and then you throw Yossi and Ellis on the ice.
Yeah.
When those five are out there, especially Yossi and Duchene, the way they change directions and accelerate, the way they can skate, that is a lethal group of five out there. It was fun. There was one stage during the second period where they didn't score, and I was wondering how in the world the Capitals had to say, how did they not score? How did we keep them off the board there? And it was interesting because it turned right after that. The shorthanded goal started going back into the Capitals' direction.
Well, but, by the way, how many Kyle Turris rebounds were there last night that he could
he
have?
He had some great chances.
Holy cow.
He had some great chances.
What did you think of that line?
Well, they weren't as good as the other lines, but that's not anything bad because the other lines were all good.
I felt like Craig Smith had a little more jump just because he was in his natural position. Wasn't playing the off wing.
Well, they had their looks. I mean, Kyle Turris, like you said, he had 2 or 3 chances right in tight. So you like what you're seeing there.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot
and
to
then,
like.
And then Ryan Johansson, I mean, he has a big night, and that was huge, and then he was, you know, himself after the game. Having fun. So
well, and Yarncroke, the move to put him in there, he did a great job. A couple of great passes.
He did. Mike on Twitter says, on August 27th, I had shoulder surgery, tore my rotator tendon completely in half. 2 anchors put in the bone and repaired. They gave me 20 Lortab tablets, no refills, good luck. I guess that was # you're a wimp. I get it. Thanks, Mike. Thanks for the tweet, Mike.
He's basically saying, you know, suck it up.
Yeah. Suck it up, Buttercup. That's what he should have been. # suck it up, Buttercup.
Gregory Anderson on Twitter says, D-Mac needing pain meds or someone spilled his milkshake, in a gif of The Rock saying, don't cry, don't cry.
Well, we were wondering, did anybody deliver a milkshake? I know you left. It was an outpatient thing. Mm-hmm. You didn't stay in the hospital long after. But
no, I got the heck out of there.
Pete Weber said, in lieu of flowers.
That would have been nice. Oh, that would have been fantastic.
Send milkshakes to Darren. Oh.
He had the right message. I just wasn't around long enough to get him. All right, we'll come back. Jeff Brothers. Man, we haven't talked to Jeff Brothers in a while. Alan Bell will join us in studio for the second hour. You just made the list. Pick 6, Richard Deitch. We got all kinds of stuff to deliver today here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game, to date ourselves. Willie, our next guest, used to tell us about this eighth grader that he had. And it was like, Coach Brothers, an eighth grader? Really? No, you don't understand how good he is. Well, no, we don't. But really? You're talking to us about an eighth grader? That eighth grader was on display last night and had over 100 yards receiving.
Yeah, but Jeff is laughing right now because he and I go further back than that. Of course, he and I were same class at Vanderbilt U.
Yes.
As Jeff was balling out there on the football gridiron.
Yeah.
See, we go further back.
What were you doing?
We're way back.
When he was balling.
Watching.
What were you doing? Watching, yeah.
Yeah.
Jeff, how the heck are you?
I'm doing well, guys. I appreciate you having me on, and I hope you're doing well. And I will tell you this. Before there was Golden Tate, there was Willie Donick.
That's right.
Go ahead and get that out.
Oh, he paid you to say that, Jeff.
You know
he paid you to say that. He must be buying you lunch.
I want to be the first to get the bid in. I'll give you $20 for your prez to win the cup ticket. So I'm the first one in. Just make a note of that.
All right. We'll start collecting on this little ticket that we're going to do in Vegas. Jeff Brothers, head coach at Nashville Christian, in all seriousness, when you were at JP2, You used to tell us about Golden Tate in eighth grade. I mean, I'll never forget it. And obviously he lived up to the billing and then some, made his return back, was suspended the first four games and looked good last night. I guess you don't have another Golden Tate on this team, do you?
Well, I would certainly welcome one, but those guys are, you know, obviously few and far between, and such a great talent and so fun to watch him, you know, continue to do what we all knew he could do so long ago. But more than that, just a great man at this point, and just, you know, a great father, a great husband, a great contributor to the community. You know, he went through an unfortunate thing at the beginning of the season, which was, you know, not something that was comfortable for him. But, you know, we stayed in touch throughout that, and I knew that when he came back, he was going to be, you know, primed and ready to make an impact, and certainly continues to do that. And nothing but the best for that guy, for sure.
What's funny, guys, is my junior year when I was at FRA, we scrimmaged JP2 when Coach Brothers was there and Golden Tate was in school. And the coaches told me, because I was the manager, like, hey, need you to do a scouting report on whatever number he was at the time.
I'm 23.
Like, yeah, 23. And I'm like, okay, sure. And first couple plays, I just turn around and go, yeah, good luck. He's pretty good.
He's really good. Yeah, here's my scouting report. He's really good.
Get him the ball. That's right.
Yeah, get him the ball. You've been at this for a long time. How much has this area changed, high school football-wise, over the years?
Tremendously. Tremendously. I think bringing the Titans in, you know, just brought just the professionalism of football, of coaching, you know, the way that the SEC has now, you know, been broadcast, you know, and college football, you know, television stuff. And I think this area has become really sought after in terms of you know, high school kids going to college, and then even for NFL players who are looking for a place to play. I mean, it's just a great area for professional sports of all kinds. And certainly football is one of those, and high school has benefited from that just in the training and the preparation and the coaching of these guys and their work ethic and their desire to continue on, you know, has produced some quality talent, and it's a lot of fun to coach right now at all levels in the Nashville area.
Well, tell us what it's like being at Nashville Christian. Here's your chance to pump up your school and tell us a little bit about the program.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, Nashville Christian is just such a sweet place to have your family. I mean, this is a kind of a throwback kind of situation. I went to a local school here, you know, growing up in high school at Brentwood Academy, and this reminds me of what that felt like back in the 80s to date myself. And you know, this is still, you know, our mission and vision is to be Christian, authentic, and dynamic, and I think we're making every effort to do that. They do keep score, you know, so we're trying to be successful on the scoreboard, but more importantly than that, you know, we're trying to prepare all these boys and girls for what life's like, you know, beyond Nashville Christian School, and we've got a super administration, we've got great support from our families, and, you know, we're in a nice spot right here in West Nashville that's growing, and, you know, we're benefiting from some of that as well, and starting a capital campaign to expand our facilities and continue to grow our programs and hopefully put out a great product and something that these guys will all remember for a lifetime.
Well, one of the guys that has come through your program, Jeff, we had a chance to talk to at SEC Media Days, and I know after talking to him and just being around some of the people that were with him that day, how highly everybody thinks of him over on the Tennessee campus. But Daniel Batuli, such an interesting guy with an interesting background, yep. And representing sure. Your school very well.
Yeah, Daniel's another one of those, you know, rare guys that comes along. You know, you'd say once in a lifetime, but I've been blessed that we've had, you know, a few in my coaching career. It just means I've been doing it a long time, I guess. But what a great story, you know, having been a refugee from, you know, the strife that was going on in Congo at the time when he was young and, you know, just kind of got relocated, you know, to Bellevue, Tennessee, and then looking for a Christian school, and Nashville Christian winds up being the place. And has certainly turned out to be, like you said, a quality representative of his family and of his faith, and certainly the Nashville Christian and the University of Tennessee, playing well. Hope those guys kind of get the season going in the right direction starting this weekend. And, you know, we had a couple of guys at media days. We had Alex Givens as well, who's the right tackle down at Ole Miss and a senior this year and looking for, you know, a great ending to his college career and hopefully the beginning of a professional career as well. And, you know, both those guys have great stories. You know, Alex came to Nashville Christian at a very young age and was working through some learning difficulties, and our programs helped him do that, and, you know, went on to college and has flourished, to say the least, athletically and academically, and just proud of what those guys are and what they're becoming, and how they represent not just Nashville Christian, but their family and their faith as well.
We have had this discussion a lot, you know, in this day and age where when you coach at a smaller school like Nashville Christian, football is a game of numbers. You got to have a lot of guys, and I know there's a lot of schools where you really have to work hard to get enough guys to come out there. What's it been like for you to try to get the numbers that you need and have all those guys have the kind of experience you're looking for?
Well, it's been a lot of fun. In my career, you know, looking back, I guess, I've been at places in sort of the growing stages. You know, we started at Brentwood Academy with my alma mater, but then went to Christ Presbyterian when it was a very young program, and was able to work with David Pack and build that thing up, and then went to Pope John Paul when it was still a pile of dirt out there in Hendersonville, and, you know, was able to see that thing come to life and you know, grow the program there. And then at Nashville Christian now in my 10th year, was sort of a restart for that program, and so it's been fun to watch that grow. My first year, I think we had 27 bodies at Nashville Christian dressed out, and, you know, that now it's not more than that, a whole lot more. We're at 42 or 43 now, and just finding guys and helping them find a role on the team, you know, where they can contribute and help us be successful. We have been blessed with some very, very talented players, but we also have to make it work with guys who, you know, have to be patient and grow and get in the weight room and learn their craft and give their best effort. And, you know, it takes everybody to win a football game. And when you have smaller numbers, it definitely takes all contributors. And we've been blessed. We've had some good players, and we've had a lot of guys that really just buy in and work hard and believe in the system and trust that process and what it's going to look like, you know, in the end. And I think we've won, I don't know, 90-something games in 10 years. And so it's been successful, and we're having a great time doing it.
Jeff Brothers is with us, head coach at Nashville Christian. And just building off that, Jeff, is, you know, the game has changed so much in the last 10 years. Since you've been at Nashville Christian, we've learned more about concussions and different injuries and the effects that they can have long term. So how have you taken that information and then adapted your coaching style as you learn more about what football can do to somebody's body?
Yeah, it's no different from teaching and education. You know, you look for best practices, what's working, you know, what the research shows, and you know, we adapt that to our practice schedule and our you know, teaching of contact and how we tackle. We do a lot of tackling drills where we teach the proper techniques to stay safe. You know, a lot of things now where it used to be kind of just banging heads with other bodies, now we do a lot of stuff with dummies and, you know, tackling rings and things like that, sleds and stuff. And just really, you know, putting an emphasis on, you know, being safe and not just the contact part of it, but also the conditioning part of it, the heat related situations. You know, we don't do the classic 2-a-days or even 3-a-days like we did when I was growing up. You know, we really monitor their hydration. I mean, there's all kinds of science behind this. And to be able to do that and for football to still hold the position it does in our society and still be, you know, arguably the most celebrated game that we have in our culture, you know, I think speaks to, number one, the coaches and the kids that are playing it, and also to the researchers and the doctors and all that are helping keep it, you know, safe and so it can continue and be the game that it is.
We've seen, you know, as you were talking about earlier with your team, with Daniel Batuli, Alex Givens, you know, playing in the SEC, D1 football, we've seen an influx of players from Middle Tennessee, you know, go to the next level. And I'm curious, as a high school coach, how you manage that, because, you know, 18, 17-year-old kids, you know, getting these offers and getting visits, I mean, that can get to your head a little bit. So how do you manage it as their head coach and kind of a father figure?
Well, it's becoming increasingly difficult, I'll say, and I think social media has brought that on. you know, we have guys, yeah, we have Daniel and Alex, you know, in the SEC. We've got Brandt over at North Carolina, you know, in the ACC. And we've got guys kind of scattered all over at every level playing football. And what we try to tell them is, you know, football is football. And it's still 11 on 11 and it's still played the same way. And whatever level you have the opportunity to compete in is going to be special if you decide it's going to be special. And so while everybody has the dreams and the hopes of being, you know, at school, you know, X and whatever conference, then sometimes that works itself out. And I tell people all the time that I've been coaching 26 years and I have never given out a college scholarship ever. And I can't promise that anybody will get one. But what we do is just give out the information. We coach them the best we can on the field. We love them as hard as we can on and off the field. And we just kind of prepare them for the path that's going to be developed, you know, in time. You know, I think one of the greatest things I heard was Colt McCoy's dad was speaking at an FCA conference down in Texas, and he said, and somebody asked him, you know, what's the best thing you did to prepare Colt for, you know, what was to become a Heisman Trophy race, and, you know, that's certainly the NFL and the University of Texas. And he said, you know, one of the things I try to tell everybody is not to prepare the path for your son, but to prepare your son for the path. And I think that's what we're trying to do with these guys, is not try to map out what it's going to look like, but just give them the tools and the spiritual foundation that they can handle whatever situation comes up. And if that presents an opportunity to continue playing, that's great. And if it doesn't, then look at the experience you've had and the relationships you've made and the lifetime of memories that you can enjoy.
What can you tell us about Jody Brothers?
One of the best athletes that nobody knows about.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We competed hard growing up. I mean, he's 13 months older than I am. So, I don't know, some people call that Irish twins or something like that maybe. But was my best friend growing up, was my chief competitor growing up, you know, out in the backyard and even on the same teams. And there's no better, more loyal supporter of Jeff Brothers than Jody Brothers. And he even helps me now on Friday nights up in the booth. And, you know, couldn't be happier that we're still together and doing this, gosh, since we were born. So to be 48 and 49 years old and still be playing football together is quite special.
Well, in all seriousness, we have not seen or heard from him in a while, and so hope you can pass along a hello from us.
I'll definitely do that. I'll see him here in a couple hours as we head down to Somerville, Tennessee to play Fayette Academy.
Awesome. Hey, good luck tonight. Thanks for doing this, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate what you do. Have a good day.
All right, you do the same. Jeff Brothers, who is the head coach, Nashville Christian, they play
Fayette Academy.
Fayette Academy tonight.
Down in Somerville, it's a conference game for them, and it's crazy to see just how that program has changed since he got there. Because when I was in high school, Nashville Christian and FRA were in the same division, I guess is what they called it at the time. And that was always one of those, that's a W. I mean, it's like that was the, you put the young kids in and the freshmen and all that, and now they are just one of the best in the state.
In all seriousness, his brother was one of the, Jody was one of the first people I ever met in Nashville.
Really?
In 1998, yep. Me and him spent a lot of lunches at the, I'm drawing blanks, the pizza buffet in Nashville. What was the one everybody... Oh, come on.
Mr. Gaddy's.
Thank you. Gosh, I would have beat myself up.
Now, I did Jody not come into work today
many lunches
thinking
at Mr.
that we were
going to
talk about Mr. Gaddy's.
Where do they? They're gone, right? All of them are gone.
I think they're gone. Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. Back in the day, people.
Mr. Gaddy's was the place.
The college students, they were like, hey, man, that's the deal. All you can eat?
Let me tell you something. They knew of us by name. They didn't have to ask. They had our order ready. We were doing the buffet and a drink, and, you know, we'll be leaving in about an hour. And we spent many times, many, many lunches over Mr. Gaddy's. So we appreciate Jeff joining us. Alan Bell will join us in studio. We'll get into a lot of NFL stuff with him. We'll come back more of Darren Donick and Chase. On the other side, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Yarncroak got in the way. Yarncroak spins on that left board to the blue line. Ekholm, the shot, he scored! Matthias Ekholm!
You, baby, 5150, just a side of
local. I'm going crazy. New Power Play song, Dierks Bentley.
That's the actual song, though.
5150. But they actually have the Predators version.
Yep.
That's what people are having to learn. I had to do a little lesson on that in pregame last night. And when I think of 5150, I think of Van Halen 5150, but it's not 5150. Yeah,
this is not in your wheelhouse.
5150.
Willie, I don't even think Dierks is in your wheelhouse, but I like the Dierks.
Hey, I respect you know, all of his stuff. I am the first to tell you my library for the country is limited, but
yeah,
especially okay. I was telling you guys that Ken Burns documentary, I've been listening to a lot of country since then.
Yeah.
It just gives you such a great appreciation.
You were motivated by it and you went and listened to country?
Yeah.
Really?
I'll show you the playlist I got okay. if you want. You seem to be implying I'm full of baloney.
I don't really
I'll
see
show you. I'll show you the playlist.
I don't really see you listen to a lot of country.
I'll show I got it right here.
5150, sit here, your booty down, here. Bro.
Max has
We're going crazy, that power play, baby. 5150, Bridgestone going loco. 5150, sit your booty down, bro. We're going crazy, that power play, baby.
Please stop.
That power play, baby. There you go.
That was, let's just move on from your singing.
Well, you wanted to play it, so that's fair
but
game.
But look,
you're the one that had to have it.
Chase, it's the drugs.
Okay, we'll blame that.
He's feeling good about himself. He just got the refill. He's a little.
Did you get the refill?
Yeah, they. By the way, they.
Did they shut you down?
No, they didn't shut it down. They went less. Something in between.
That's smart.
Yeah,
that's good.
They brought it down a notch. Brought it down
probably
a peg.
Probably a good thing.
Yeah. So that is the new power. Speaking of power play, Ovechkin with 2 power play goals last night now has 249 career power play goals in the regular season. That puts him 4th all time as he passed Luke Robitaille last night. Can you name the other 3 in front of him with more regular season power play goals?
And they actually got the puck for him, too.
Before we get into that, I think it's important to note that since he's been in the league, the margin of how many more power play goals he has than his peers is unbelievable.
It's astronomical.
He's got over 100 more than anybody else who's been playing since he came into the league.
Who's second?
Stamkos, who's a pretty darn good sniper. Wow. I mean, he is a shooter.
But he's 100 behind.
He's 100 behind Ovechkin.
How would you like to be Carlson? That you just pretty much, you're going to get 20 assists at least, just dishing it to Ovechkin.
Well, and those guys deserve credit. I mean, Peter Laviolette was asked, and Hal Gill had a hilarious answer on the postgame about this, in the whole, hey, you know where he's going to be. How come nobody can stop him? And Hal Gill was like, go over and get inside of his pants, stand inside of his hockey shorts and just, or, you know, go talk to him, go bear hug him.
People have done that.
But that was Peter Laviolette's point, is the other guys are too good. You can't do that.
Teams have done that, and it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
He's one of those guys. You asked Hal the question last night about, you know, were there those guys that you played against that once you were on the ice with him that you kind of had a little bit of that, I can't believe I'm sharing the ice with this person. He brought up Mario Lemieux. And Alex Ovechkin is one of those, whenever they come to town, I find myself just watching him, just following him as he skates, just because he's so smooth and he's got those skills and everything. And then you saw it again last night, and I couldn't believe that stat that was the first time he had scored on Pecorino.
He has scored on now 135 NHL goalies. Ovechkin.
You know what was unique about last night, though, how many more times will he come in here? He's not slowing down. And that you guys sort of hit on this. He's 13th all-time in just goals, put aside power play goals.
661.
But he's still scoring like 40. He hasn't hit a down slope in his career, so you wonder how close he'll come. But he's led the league in shots on goal 12 out of the 15 seasons he's played. Last night he had 2 goals but only 2 shots on goal.
Yeah.
Usually he just kills you with volume. He's just hammering away, and he's getting 8, 9, 10 shots every night. It was interesting last night. There was a couple times he fooled Pekka by passing, right? Because you're thinking as soon as he gets the puck, he's shooting. And he wasn't. It was unlike him.
Team Mussolini has 255 career
power play goals.
Power play goals in the regular season.
I got to believe just because.
So that means he's 6 behind him.
Gretzky, Lemieux.
So bye-bye. Brett Hull, 265.
Brett Hull, yes.
Bye-bye. That's going to go bye-bye. Dave Andrejczyk, 274 is
Dave
the leader.
Dave Andrejczyk. How about that? Just played forever. Just a classic.
274.
Net front guy, big body.
So Ovechkin will blow away that. And
so
he's
Gretzky
gonna be
and Lemieux
the
are not
leader.
No? In power play goals?
Nope.
Hmm.
He passed Luke Robitaille last night. So, yeah, they're not even – they were not in the top five.
And he's at, for career goals, 661. I think he hit 700 this year, considering he scores 50 just about every
year.
Got
a shot. And if you look, remember scoring was up last year, 6 goals per game. Mm-hmm. First time it had hit that level in a long, long time. And look at some of the scores around. The 6-5 was somewhat unique, but there's a lot of teams that are putting up 5-6. There's been some wacky games. So this could be a year where more guys get to 40, more guys get to 50.
Last night was just one of those games. Like you had when Ovechkin comes to town, you have to go. You have to go.
You
see
gotta go.
Him.
Yeah.
You have to see somebody who's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Okay, and he's going to be, and he's going to set all kinds of records when it's all said and done, as we just talked about. I mean, he's just an amazing guy to watch, and you think about his career. I mean, he basically came in like a bull in a china shop, and has played that way his whole career, right? He really hasn't changed much. I mean, he used to bulldoze people and just get in fights. I mean, you know, he's scaled back some.
He bulldozed the guy last night.
I know, but he hasn't really changed his style. I mean, he is exactly basically the same way he broke into the league. And you would think a guy who scores 50 goals a year would lessen some of that stuff. Nope, not him.
Another guy that's worth pointing out, he played in his 900th game last night. So he's been alongside of Ovechkin for a long time, is Nick Backstrom. He's another guy that's, you know, he's probably not nearly, unless you're a hockey fan, a guy the casual fan may not even know about Nick Backstrom, right? But he's the guy feeding Ovechkin time and time again for all those years. What a player. He's in the top 10 all-time Swedish players and closing in on Peter Forsberg. So by the time Backstrom's done playing, he's going to get pretty high on that list. Been a lot of great Swedes through the years.
Yeah, they seem to be pretty good at hockey.
They're pretty good. Pretty good at hockey.
You think?
Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you this, and we'll talk about it on the other side to close out the first hour. Remember when we did the sizzling takes? Adam Vingan, The Athletic?
Oh, yeah.
I'm starting to think that a lot of those things he put out there are really going to happen. And we'll discuss it. And I know it's 4 games, but, man, does the picture look a little bit more clear on a couple of those categories. We'll do that on the other side to close out hour number one of Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You know what I'm going to do here? This is going to get some people in the building excited.
And please don't start singing.
And
don't
all
start singing.
Consultants in radio, I'm going to do a tease. Because when you do a tease, you're really good at this. We're very excited on this show. Thursdays are going to be a lot of fun.
Uh-huh.
And that's all I can really say about it now. We're not ready to unveil some really cool Thursday news that's coming on the show. Hopefully that'll be done at the beginning of the week, next week. But we're kind of still need to get some paperwork signed and all that good stuff.
Signed, sealed, delivered.
But see, that was a radio tease that something really cool is about to happen every Thursday on this show.
Can we say what sport? Can we?
Yeah, we can do that.
It involves skating.
Let's do that hockey.
It involves ice and blades.
And it is not Chance the Rapper. Have you seen his thing?
Yes.
You know that now they brought
him
back. Did
you see he did it with PK?
It doesn't quite work as well as it did in the environment of Saturday Night Live. You can't match that. Right?
That was
just
one of those bits.
Well, nice
that...
segue, because he asked about the Norris Trophy and goes, what is that? Nobody even knows what that is.
Yeah. I mean, it's good. It's just hard to do it on the spot here. You know, it's planned. It's thought out. It's still some good lines.
Segue. I mean, man, you're talking about making consultants happy. I've done a tease, a segue. Wow. Like,
this is not our first rodeo.
I think I've got a future in this. I think I can stick around for a while. Roman Josi is a finalist for the Norris Trophy. This was one of the sizzling takes, or not so sizzling, Adam Vingan from The Athletic, and I get it. Once again, albeit 4 games, there's 78 more to go. We understand. But that certainly looks like that is, if Roman Yossi keeps playing like this, that is absolutely going to be in the cards, right?
Yeah.
He is going to be a Norris Trophy finalist.
The way he's playing
as much
right
as
now.
You can be after four games, no doubt.
Right?
Well, he's just moving. He's just moving, doing incredible things. The laps that he takes around the goal, it's like Bristol. He attacks down the wing and he swoops behind the net.
Nice racing reference.
He'll cut. Well, that's what he does, though. Yeah.
The banquet's coming here in December. I see what you're doing.
I want to see a game where he takes three laps around the other team's net. I think he can do it.
You know who's really jealous of Roman Yossi? I mean, really jealous. I don't even think he's in denial. He'll admit it.
Hal?
Yeah, Hal's really jealous of Roman. Like, Skillsy gets really jealous of what Roman can do on the ice.
It's just and it's
like Hal's like, man, I played 15 years and it's just not fair that you can do all that stuff.
I've always felt, in all honesty, that Roman Yossi is underrated. Like, I think the league still kind of gets it, but I don't think they really get it.
Nah,
like they still
going,
hype
they're
up
going
the,
to this
they
year.
Still hype up the other guys who are in that class more.
He's going to force them though this year. He's
going to
have one
right.
of those years.
I would. I hope so.
Well, and I think if the Predators
had his 10th career 2-goal game on Tuesday night, his offensive numbers, because that's really what gets. Yeah. A lot of attention. Like, I don't need to go into my Eric Carlson soapbox.
Because of offense.
I just, a lot of these guys get rewarded for their offensive stats and burns.
I just don't think, listen, I'm biased. I would be the first to admit it, but I would take Yossi over Burns and Carlson.
I agree.
And those guys are awesome. Those guys are tremendous players.
I think what's got to happen, though, is, and it's unfortunate, but I think it's what has to happen. The Preds have to. They have to have a good year.
The good year
has to be probably. I know they make the votes and stuff before the playoffs, but they got to be one of the best teams in the league. And then,
but they have been. But here's what's different this year, right? For the first time, Roman Yossi is the biggest star on the blue line, undisputed.
Yes,
right. Ryan Ellis and Matthias Ekholm are great players, but Roman Yossi has the best name recognition. Whereas up to this point, there's always been Shea Weber or PK Subban.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
Those guys have been sort of bigger stars in terms of just perception and name recognition, notoriety. And Yossi's always
it's almost
been
like they took votes away.
Shot.
Like PK
oh,
took
no
votes
doubt.
From.
There's
from
no
Yossi.
Doubt they have split, the spotlight. Both of those guys for a long time. So that's why I think it's the environment is much better for him to. Because it is a popularity contest to some degree,
it is,
right?
But most of them
it's like
are.
The Heisman,
in all sports,
right? It's
in all sports. Look,
there's a thing. It's not just the numbers.
Voting
it's the whole thing.
Baseball, football. It's always been a popularity in all sports. It's not just hockey. Now, the real reason I brought it up, not because I do believe that what I just, but the real category, the sizzling take, they'd only had two flames, but I. Either Philip Forsberg or Victor Arvidsson is going to become the first 40-goal scorer in team history. Now, we know the Predators are the lone team in the league that has never had a 40-goal scorer. And it's nothing against Victor Arvidsson, but I really believe that like the Forsberg thing is real. I mean, if he plays the entire season and hopefully there's no injuries of anything, or at least if he misses a game or two, that's one thing, but no sustained injury.
75
if
or more
he plays,
games, right?
Right, there you go. There's that's what I was going to say. 75 or more games, it's real. I mean, especially the way you see them playing in the first. I mean, he's, like I said, 4 goals in 4 games. It's never been done in Predators history. The last guy to do it to start off a season was Steve Sullivan, 3 games. If he plays 75 or more games, I think Philip Forsberg's going to have 40 goals this year.
Especially if he and Duchesne can keep up this chemistry that they have right now.
By the way, did you guys like the Philip Forsberg fadeaway jump shot?
What was that all about? So, well, yeah.
I got to ask him about
that.
Yeah,
what's the story behind that?
I have no idea.
Did he call bank or was that just a swoosh?
I'm going to ask him.
It?
Have you been out hooping a little bit lately? There's usually not too much crossover.
I don't think I've ever seen him do that. Has he done that before?
I haven't seen it.
I haven't either. I was surprised by that.
That was good. That was good.
And he even had the smile, like, hey. I think it was nothing but net, the way he smiled. Nothing but net.
Yeah. Hal made a good point on the postgame show, too. Whether you 40 goals is definitely a marker that's never been done. But beyond that, too, he has said that this team has had very good team offense, but they have never had a guy that just rolls up those huge fantasy league points, right? The highest points per game is, what, 82? Paul Kariya, I think, had a point per game. But nobody's gotten to 90. Nobody's got to 100. And in this environment in the NHL, you can get 100 now. What did we say the list was last year? We had the contest.
Six.
That was where we had the funny mm-hmm. guy butchering the names. But there were six guys that hit 100. Predators have never had a guy sniff 100.
Right.
But this team, maybe.
Well, Duchesne is on pace for 164.
Okay.
Is that too much?
I'm going to put you on the list.
Soon?
You don't do that.
What? He's on pace for 164.
It's not an issue.
It's a fact. It's not even an opinion. It's a fact.
So you're saying four games in, don't do the he's on pace for? Is that what you're saying?
What? We did it all last year. Victor Arvidsson. If he would have played 82 games, he would have had 96 goals. We did that all last year, right?
Yeah, but that's what make it smart.
Oh, my gosh, if Victor Arvidsson did miss those games,
you're going on the
he
list.
Would have had 70 goals.
Both of you guys are on the list, and all the people that did that.
What did I do?
There's always a guy on April 2nd, too, going, so-and-so hit two home runs. He's on pace for 178 home runs or whatever it is. Come on.
He is on pace for 164 points. Are you not a believer?
Be a believer.
Gosh, it's not even silly underdog day. Be a believer, Willie.
I was trying to make a good point about how and, you know,
don't
give
make
his ego a little bit of a boost. And you guys could go
how's
with the
ego,
whole math.
How, how's ego does not need a boost?
Yeah, like his skills he needs. Skills he needs to pump me up.
I think he's good.
Yeah. Things I think of how. He could use a boost. No.
Yeah.
Come on.
But now we'll see if they can translate this kind of attack on the road, right? It's harder on the road.
That's a very good point because they've started the year at home. They've looked good at home. Yeah. But now – can they take it on the road with them? Because they've been a good road team, you know, in the past. So they got to put it all together on both.
Anybody
home
believe
or road.
The 40 goals happening this year?
I think it's
going to happen.
If they both play 75 or more, I think there's a really good chance one of them will hit.
Well, I think I would lean toward Forsberg.
But
just
you know,
because
I think there's a
Arvidsson on the power play now, you know, he's done almost everything he's done has been at even strength, and now all of a sudden. He's in prime spots on the power play. That could change.
I guess I'm just the way I've looked at that line through four games. Like every time they're on the ice, you feel like something big is about to happen.
Yeah, and you know everybody's going to have hot and cold streaks, but
that does look
really good. It looks like they have just hit on something that is going to be a weapon for a while. Here's another good sign. Washington came in their first four games. They had allowed only 25.5 shots per game. Best in the league, and the Predators peppered them. They had 38 shots, 5-on-5. The Predators were the much more effective team, putting pressure on. You know, the special teams favored the Capitals. That's how they sort of stayed in the game. But harder to do it on the road, but that's still encouraging.
Hey, they've scored 19 goals in four games. You know what they're on pace for to score this year?
No, don't even.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Jeez, I just want to.
You're already on the list.
That's so mad.
You're already on the list. You can't
it's
get off.
So
the list.
Squirmish.
You might as well say it.
I'm on the list just by association.
Surprised you haven't blown the whistle yet.
Yeah, Chase is over there. I didn't do that. I didn't
do anything.
I didn't do the math on that.
We'll come back. Alan Bell. We'll talk some NFL with him to kick off the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase next.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk. Still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big.